Well, listen, y'all, I am so honored to be looking at y'all beautiful faces on this beautiful Sunday morning. I have the opportunity to continue a series that we've been in, that we've entitled Happy Holidays. Somebody say Happy Holidays. Yes, sir. We've been talking about the things that we should be delighting in. More importantly, who we should be delighting in. And we should be delighting in the Lord. Amen. Listen, I ain't got that much time today, so I'm just going to dive in. For those of y'all who don't know who I am, my name is Christian. Me and my beautiful wife, Vanessa, have the honor and privilege of leading this beautiful thing that we call the Free. Yeah, yeah. Hey, do I have any of my high schoolers in the room? Raise your hand if you're in high school. Raise your hand if you're in high school. We got some high schoolers in the room. Listen, every single Friday night at 7 p.m., we have a high school service, and we want to see y'all there. And it's an honor and a privilege to lead the youth. But it's also an honor and a privilege to minister to y'all this morning. And I'm going to dive right in. This is a passage that we see out of the book of Matthew. I'm going to go straight to Matthew chapter 23. And it's just one verse, a very simple verse, but a very impactful verse. And it says this. It says, "The greatest among you must be a servant." Somebody say servant.
Servant.
Somebody say servant.
Servant.
Here the Bible peeks us in on a scene where Jesus is actually giving his last and final public declaration to the masses. He's in front of a large group of people and a large group of Pharisees. And you would think that his last message would be one of reflection, but no, it was actually one of correction. If y'all go just a few verses ahead of this, he is letting the Pharisees have it. He's saying, "You hypocrites, you this, you that." And he's letting them know about themselves. Now, listen, before I dive into the scripture, I think that it's very important for us to note that when we read the New Testament and we read about the wrongdoings of the Pharisees, I need y'all to know that not every Pharisee was bad. The Bible actually reports that there were some Pharisees that will follow the law of Moses with a pure heart. The reason I say this is because when you read the New Testament, I need y'all to read it from the right perspective. Because oftentimes we'll read about the Pharisees and be like, look at these Pharisees again. Always judging somebody. What's wrong with them? I would never. And I need y'all to know that there was some good Pharisees, which helps you to sometimes identify with the Pharisees. It's easy to identify with Jesus, as we should. Jesus is our example. That's who we follow. But there are also often times in the New Testament where we be acting like these Pharisees. And this passage right here is definitely one of those times. You see, Jesus is letting the people know, hey, the Pharisees are followers and teachers of the law, but do as they say, don't do as they do. Can I show y'all in scripture just a few verses ahead of this? In Matthew chapter 23, verse 2 and 3, we see Jesus letting the Pharisees have it. And he says in verse 2, "The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but do not follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach." In other words, they don't practice what they preach. In other words, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. How many of us know that person? If you ain't raising your hand, it's probably because you that person. I'm going to be honest. Some of us got to know. But the Pharisees, they talked a good game, but they didn't walk a good game. And Jesus lets them know where their focus should really be. You see, these men were all about show. They'd be outside of the synagogue praying loud. Hi, yeah, 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 yeah. Not to be heard by God, really just to be heard by man. In this same passage, Jesus breaks down how they are obsessed with sitting at the front table at the banquet. They are obsessed with people calling them rabbi, people calling them teacher. They are obsessed with the look of things. He said, you wear these elaborate tassels. And I need y'all to know that in that time, Jewish folks would wear tassels on the sides of their pants. And they would wear these tassels as a response to a commandment in the book of Numbers. A commandment that told them, hey, wear the tassels because when you look down and see a tassel, you'll be reminded to obey the law. So most Jewish folks would have these tassels, but you see the Pharisees, they had these elaborate extra tassels. Their tassels was like all the way down to the floor, if I'm standing right here. And they walk in and they looking at everybody and they're trying to get all the attention they could possibly get so that the people could look at them and say, oh, wow, look at them. Wow, look at those tassels. Wow, they must really be godly. Look how big their tassels are. To take it a step further, not only did they wear these tassels, but they would walk around with these large prayer boxes, which was also a command from the book of Numbers. But the Pharisees tend to overdo it. They wouldn't have these regular boxes on their necks. They would have these huge, crazy, elaborate boxes. Most commentators would say that they couldn't even stand close to people as big as their chains were. They had these chains like they was a rapper or something. You don't need these chains. They was all about show, y'all. These Pharisees were about power, prestige, and position. But one thing that they were not about was people. And Jesus calls them out. Says, y'all ain't about the people. Jesus lets them know, if you want to be great, you should be serving the people. Amen. You see, we serve a God that's about the people. He cares about each and every person that are in these seats right now. Amen. And because he cares for them, we care for them. Amen. You see, in the kingdom, that's what Jesus calls greatness. Amen. Greatness is based on who and how you serve. And today I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the blessing and the delight that it is to serve. Amen. Listen, if you're taking notes, and I do suggest that you take notes, because I promise you I'm going to say a lot of things. And if you're not writing it down, as soon as you walk out those back doors, you're going to forget it. Like, those back doors is like a portal or something. As soon as you walk out, you can't remember nothing I just said. So I suggest y'all to take notes so that y'all could refer back to them later. And if you're taking notes, that's the title of today's talk. Today, we're going to talk about delighting yourself in serving. Can we pray one time? Jesus, I thank you because you came to this earth not to be served, but to serve. And Lord, I pray that the words that are coming out of my mouth are words that are directly from your mouth to their ears. God, I ask that you would use me in this moment as a vessel and not a filter. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So God, I ask that you pierce the hearts of each and every person in this room so that we can walk out better, so that we can walk out changed, so that we could walk out as an example of you. We want to be more like you, Jesus. Help us in this moment and on this day. It's in Jesus' name that I pray and ask these things. Amen. There's a quote that I recently came across, a quote that I love from the late, great Billy Graham. Some of y'all in this room might know who that is. Billy Graham was a known evangelist. Many, many, many people got saved. And this is what Billy Graham says about serving. He says that God has given us two hands, one to receive with and one to give with. One to receive with and one to give with. In other words, freely we get, so freely we give. Now, I already know how a lot of y'all mornings went. Y'all woke up this morning and y'all cooked up a breakfast that was not free. Especially nowadays, you go to Trader Joe's, them prices are crazy. I'm like, why are y'all robbing me? This is wild. I know breakfast was not free. I know that you just hopped in a car and used up some gas that was not free. Mind you, the car is not free. Some of us paying a car note, praying for y'all, praying for us. Some of us paying, all of us paying insurance. We should be paying insurance. Let me not assume. But my point is we have a lot of cost in this life. Almost nothing is free, but I could tell you one thing that is free. Every breath in your lungs. And if you have breath in your lungs, you know what that tells me? You have time on this earth. And if you were freely given time, our response should be to freely give our time. Not to anybody, but to the things of God. My question is, how are we spending our time? Are we spending it on ourselves? Or are we willing to give to others? This is a message that is so countercultural, y'all. This is not what the world is teaching us. The world says that this life is about adding. While the Bible tells us that this world is about giving, we are to give. We give because he gave. Amen. And when we give, guess what happens? We become more like Jesus. Because Jesus came to this earth not to be served, but to serve. King of kings, Lord of lords, greatest name above every other name, Jesus. And the Bible tells me that he came to serve. Oh, if he could serve, I could at least do an hour. If he could give his life, I could at least give my weekend. He gave. So in response, we give. But a lot of us don't walk with this. A lot of us don't move like this. But there's a passage in Scripture that I promise, if you allow it to rest in your heart, it'll change your life forever. And this passage comes out of Matthew chapter 20. And this is just a few chapters before the chapter that I'm preaching on now. In Matthew chapter 20, it says something so powerful. Here we see the sons of Zebedee, James and John and they mama. Some of y'all already know the story. And James and John and they mama come up to Jesus with a question. A question that, if we're honest, a lot of us have asked ourselves in some way, shape, or fashion. And this is what it says in Matthew 20. It says that Jesus said, "What do you want?" he asked her. "Promise," she said to him, "that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and the other on your left in your kingdom." I love this story because if you read it, Jesus' response is like, you don't even know what you're asking for. You think you're asking for a seat, but really you're asking for a cup that is not easy to bear, a weight and a burden that is not easy to carry. But she's asking not because she thinks her sons can carry the burden, but because she would love to see her sons look great. She wanted her sons to look away. And it's hilarious when you read this chapter because after they ask this question, the Bible says that the disciples started arguing amongst each other. They like, "What you mean you great? You great? I'm great. No, I'm great. You ain't great. You know he ain't never been great." They back and forth. But I love how Jesus responds because he flips this whole thing on his head. In chapter 20, verse 25, it says that Jesus called them over and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in high positions act as tyrants over them. It must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant." Somebody say servant. "And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." In order to become great, you must serve. In order to become great, you must serve. In order to become great, you must serve. You must serve. This passage is so powerful because it teaches us so much. This is why we can delight in serving. Because as we serve, we become great. We can delight in serving in the kingdom of God because serving in the kingdom of God makes us great in the kingdom of God. What I love about this church is that this really is a church that serves others into greatness. Pastor Tim alluded to it just a moment ago. Just last night, we had over 100 volunteers hit the streets of Chicago. They was everywhere, y'all. Big shout out to the ones that went to Humble Park. Big shout out to the ones that went to Millennium Park. That's something to celebrate. There was a group that went to the soup kitchen to bless our homeless people. It was absolutely incredible, and there were testimonies on top of testimonies on top of testimonies. But what's interesting is that's only a small amount of our congregation. Ooh. It was a little over 100 that went out to serve. I see way more than 100 in this room right now. In order to be great, you have to serve. In order to be great, you have to serve. But here, we see that the problem is not that serving is an issue. If you want to be great, you have to serve. But the problem is a lot of us just don't value being great. We don't value being great as much as we value looking good. Just like these Pharisees, we got a very similar issue. You see, James and John had a similar struggle that blinded them, just like the Pharisees had a struggle that blinded them, and a struggle that a lot of us face today. We don't necessarily value being great, but we do value looking good. Oh, we'll do anything to look good. We'll throw every filter on Instagram on our picture to look good. We'll put every verse in our bio that we've ever memorized to look good. You go on somebody's page, you're like, oh, she memorized Jeremiah 29, 11 and John 3, 16. Okay. I like that. To look good. But we value looking good, but the question is, do we desire to be great? All the effort that we put into looking good is a little sad sometimes, because no matter how hard we try to look good, we will never actually be good. Y'all should see some of y'all faces right now. You're like, what do you mean I'm not good? That's right. You're not good. The Bible I read tells me that there's only one that is good. And guess who that is? God. We try so hard to look good, but we'll never actually attain being good. What we need to value is being great. Some of y'all are still mad, so I'm going to go to some scripture, because I clearly need to prove it, because some of y'all are still a little upset about what I just said. Okay, let me prove it to y'all. Can we go to Mark chapter 10 real quick? This is a moment in scripture that's very powerful for us, because the Bible tells us that a man that was described as a rich young ruler approaches Jesus. And this is after Jesus gives his famous Sermon on the Mount. And he's listening to the sermon, and he comes up to Jesus with a question. And this is what it says in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. That's the bad news, y'all. There's no such thing as good people. But can I give y'all some good news? While there may not be a such thing as good people, there is a such thing as God's people. And if you're God's people, you are good in God's eyes. He doesn't look at the sin. He doesn't look at the shame. He only looks at his son if you believe in his son. That's some good news, y'all. We God's people. Is there anybody in this room grateful that they are God's people? Come on. GP, are you with me? Look, it was only a few of y'all that knew that. There was some of y'all in the back like, oh yeah, we got the church. We ain't going nowhere. We God's people. And that is good news. So what does this all teach us? This teaches us that while we may never be great, or while we may never be good, we can always be great. God gives us the key right here. And the key to greatness is serving. Somebody say serve.
Serve.
Somebody say serve.
Serve.
In a moment, I'll give some people in this room the opportunity to become God's people. In fact, I actually feel a calling to do that right now. Because there's a lot of people in this room that have declared that statement of faith, that have said, Jesus, you are King and you are Lord, and I want to follow you for the rest of my life. But I can't assume that everyone in this room has made that statement or believed in their heart that Jesus is Lord. So with every head bowed and every eye closed in the room, I want to take a moment just to do this, because I promise the rest of the sermon will hit different if you know that you are God's people, that you are God's child. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Saved from what, Christian? Saved from eternal damnation. What does that mean, Christian? That means a lifetime without Jesus and an afterlife without Jesus. You see, if you're a child of God, when you die, your life really begins. But if you've never declared that statement of faith, unfortunately, when you die, you die. There's no lifetime with Jesus. And listen, there is a room in heaven with your name on it. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give some people in this room the opportunity to make the best decision of their life. All you got to do is on the count of three, raise your hand. One, Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you. Two, the Bible tells us that tomorrow is promised to no man. You only have today. Three, I want you to raise those hands. I want you to raise those hands. There's a hand in the back. There's multiple hands in the front. There's hands all through this left side. I see one hand, two hands, three hands, four hands, five hands, six hands. I'm still on the right side. Seven hands, eight hands, in the middle, nine hands, 10 hands, 11 hands, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that heaven rejoices when just one hand goes up. There was over 33 hands in the room that just gave their life to Jesus. Can we make some noise? You're God's people. You're God's people. And because you are God's people, you don't have to strive to look good. You don't have to give everything you got to be good, because God is already good. You know, when you contrast these two words in Scripture, I think that it's very important to note that the Bible I'm preaching from today is written in English. But it was not originally written in English. This was translated. The Bible was originally written in Greek and Hebrew. And when you're reading the New Testament, you're reading literature that originally was in the Greek. So the way that we contrast great and good is something's good. Okay, great, that's good. But if it's great, oh yeah, it's great. But in the Greek, Jesus is actually letting us know that it's better to be good than to be great. But the good news is you can be great. Can we put those two words up on the screen? I need to contrast these because it's really going to help with the understanding. When you see the word greatest in this context, it is a translation of the word megas. Somebody say megas. And in this context, the greatest refers to status. Somebody say status. And importance. Somebody say importance. This is God saying, hey, there's some people that are in this life and they sit right about here. But then there's some people that are truly great. They serve my people. They serve my kingdom. They obey my commands. He's saying that you can be great. While the word good in the Greek, when you translate it, is agathos. Somebody say agathos. And this is used as good doer. What does that mean? In this context, it refers to identity. When you say, I'm a good person, that means you always a good person. We already know. You ain't always a good person. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. That's why we can call God good. But we can't call ourselves good. We have our good days and our bad days, but the good news is you don't have to be good because of God's grace. And as we serve others into greatness, we ourselves will become great in the kingdom. For those of y'all that are taking notes, I have 2 points, very important. I'm gonna run through them fast because greatness is important. And the first point is, greatness places people around you. For some people, the holiday season is a very lonely season. I would argue that serving is one of the keys to fighting that loneliness. When you serve people, you're naturally around people. Jesus had to intentionally step away from the crowds to have his own time. Greatness places people around you. I'm a living testament of this fact. At the age of 25, I was going to a church in Brooklyn called the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And at that time, I was in a very dark place. I was a wild boy, y'all. And I would come and I would sit all the way in the back, sometimes exhausted, with my hood up. And I don't know if y'all know this, but I played basketball all my life. I played basketball in high school. I played basketball in college. And one day God hit me. And the Holy Spirit convicted me because I would come on a Sunday and just judge everybody around me. Look at that. Oh, look at that. Wow. And I wouldn't step in to serve anyone. And the Holy Spirit hit me one day. He said, Christian, you know I didn't call you to sit on the bench. I called you to step into the game. And can I tell you from that day forward, I was in the game. I was serving on every team. Ask Pastor Javon. I was serving on the youth team. I was serving on the preteen team. I was serving on the streams team. I was serving on the young adults team. Listen, you come on a Sunday, I might have been an usher. Come on, we got a seat for you. Oh, I was serving. But can I tell you, as I served, I was becoming great in the kingdom. And greatness places people around you. Can I tell y'all, I would have never met my beautiful wife who's sitting right here in the front if it wasn't for serving. God bless me. Can we show them how much God has blessed me? Not only did I get a wife, but I got a little baby too. And that is our family. Greatness places people around you. It would have never happened. I would have never met my wife. I would have never met Pastor Javon. I would have never met people in my life who changed my life. I promise you, I would not be here on this stage if it wasn't for serving. It's time to step off the sidelines. I love this because we see it in Scripture too. When we read the book of Hebrews, there's this beautiful chapter that talks about the greats in the faith. And this is a chapter that outlines all the great men of God that served in different times and capacities. I'm talking Abraham, I'm talking Isaac, I'm talking Moses. The whole chapter lays out all the great ones. It is the Faith and Serving Hall of Fame. But then at verse 31, you read something that almost shocks you. It says in verse 31, it was by faith that Rahab, somebody say Rahab, the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God. For she had given, somebody say given, a friendly welcome. Listen, if y'all read the book of Numbers, y'all will see Rahab's story. The Israelites was on the verge of stepping into their promised land. But before they stepped in, they decided to spy on the land. So they sent Joshua, they sent Caleb, they sent all of these spies to check out the land that God had for them. And as they stepped in, guess who was the one who stepped out? Guess who was the one who said, oh, these are men of God. Why don't y'all come to my house tonight? I'll serve y'all, I'll hide y'all, and y'all will be just fine. You see, that night, Rahab served the men of God and saved their lives. And in response, when those men of God came and took over Jericho, they in response saved her life. You see, that night, she gained a group of friends. Friends that would change her life forever. Not only did they protect her, but they protected her family. But I don't know if y'all read that scripture. Rahab was a prostitute. So what does that tell me? That tells me that no matter how dark your past is, you can still be great. You can still serve the people of God. You can still serve the people in your community, because I know that at least 50% of y'all in the crowd are sitting there like, yeah, I mean, I guess I could serve, but y'all don't want to know who I was. Y'all don't want to know the clubs I used to go to. Y'all don't want to know what I used to do. Y'all don't want to know what drugs I used to abuse, what things I used to do. Can I offer you this? That's your testimony. Sometimes the better the testimony, the greater the witness. What's the Bible tell us? The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So if you had a dark past, that actually makes you more qualified. Every single Friday, I deal with youth that are in the streets, some of them in the church. We got both of them, y'all. What does that mean? We need a diverse group of leaders to lead them well. Hey, come here. Let me tell you about my life. Let me tell you about some of the mistakes I made. Let me try and help you avoid the pitfalls that I went through. Rahab was a prostitute. But Rahab was great. And this leads me to my next point and my last point. Yes, number one, greatness places you around people. But point number two is very important as well. Greatness places you in position. You see, when we read the book of Samuel, we hear about a great man, a man named David. David, David, David. A man after God's own heart. Killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. David, David, David. Oh yeah, Saul, he killed thousands, but David, David, David? Killed 10,000. David, a man after God's own heart. Yeah, we know the story about David. But can I offer y'all this? that David's story probably doesn't even start if it didn't start with serving. Let me take y'all to 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is before Goliath. This is before the battle. And this is what it says. We got it on the screen. It says, for 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. For 40 days, he's taunting the Israelites. What y'all gonna do? I'm a giant. Y'all looking small. 40 days of that. Until one day. It says one day, Jesse said to David, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers. His brothers were on the battlefield. Do y'all know that David at a very young age was anointed king? And for 13 years, he served his father, but was anointed king. This is for those in the crowd that might think that serving is beneath them. You mean you want me to sit in the back with the little kids and teach them Bible stories? Yes. We want you to sit in the back with the kids and teach them Bible stories. Why? Because you're blessing the next generation. But David's story started with serving. Imagine if David would have looked at his father and said, don't you know I'm a king? Why you got me bringing this basket to the battlefield? But it was the basket that brought him to Goliath. And when he got to that battlefield, he put down the basket and picked up a sling and took one shot and ran that giant down. But it started with just serving a basket. You see, greatness puts us in position for what God has for us. I was recently researching this program that some of y'all might know about. It's a program that the Navy SEALs do to onboard their members. And many people say that this is the most intense, grueling training that anybody could ever go through. It is 6 straight weeks of Hell Week. These young men average 4 hours of sleep every night, and then they're back up. In the span of 6 weeks, they're required to run over 200 miles. And if you look at the statistics, at the highest, only 20% make it to the finish line. You see, only 10% or 20% would make it. A lot of the times when they would start the process, they would start with 200, and by the end, they would end with only 10 or 20. But they did a study on those people that made it to the end. And what they found in the study was incredible. They said that the people, those 10 to 20% that made it to the end, it wasn't about them being the strongest. It wasn't about them being the fastest. It wasn't about them being the smartest. You say that 10 to 20% that they found made it to the end, they said had one thing in common. They said that they would dig deep, and as soon as they would want to quit, they would find it within themselves to look to the person on their left and help them get to the end. You see, it was the people that served others into greatness that then became great. And what's crazy is that's what the kingdom looks like. Because this battle that we call life is very grueling. It could be very hard. And we could come up with every reason as to why we can't help someone else. But can I encourage you that when we help others, we ourselves become great. We're going to finish this together, y'all.